The reading this morning is taken from Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he's thrilled and places it on his shoulders. When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Celebrate with me, because I've found my lost sheep." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me, because I've found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Let me pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your desire to find the lost. We thank you that when we are lost, you look for us. May we hear your word for us today. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So what we read today were the first two of three parables that Jesus tells all in a row. The third one might be familiar to you as the parable of the prodigal son. Sometimes today they call it the lost son. I like to call it the parable of the lost sons, but that's a different sermon that we are not going to go into today. It is important to notice the context of these verses, because often we start right in with, there was a shepherd with 100 sheep, or there was a woman with a lost coin, or there was a man with two sons. But that's not how the passage starts. The passage starts with, there were tax collectors and sinners who wanted to learn from God, and there were Pharisees who were mad about it. And they said, "Jesus, why are you basically hanging out with the riffraff? Why are you hanging out with these people who are clearly no good? What do you think you're doing, Jesus?" And he tells these stories to them. So when we hear these stories and we think, oh, isn't it great how much God loves us? When I'm the lost sheep, when I'm the lost son, God comes. Important lessons, those are true. But they only tell a part of the story. Because Jesus is actually talking to the Pharisees, who in that first story would consider themselves part of the 99. They are not the sheep who is lost. They're the sheep who's hanging out in the pasture with all its buddies, happy and content. So this is the question that I think we're invited to ask. If we are part of the flock, and Jesus books it to go after some lost person, how do we feel about that? How does it feel to sometimes feel like we're being abandoned by our shepherd, so the shepherd can go off that one guy who maybe has been lost like 12 times, 100 times, that sheep that just keeps wandering off no matter how many times you try to get it back? There's this funny little video that I've seen a few times on social media that just makes me laugh every time, which is this little lamb that's stuck in a rut, like a hole between two roads. And a whole bunch of people come over and grab the lamb and carefully put it to the side. And the lamb is so excited and it starts jumping up and down and falls right back in the rut again. And I'm just like, yeah, that's me sometimes. Maybe we know people like that, who we have tried to pull out of the rut and they just keep jumping back in. And at some point we want to say, come on, guys. But the shepherd keeps running after that sheep. That shepherd pulls that sheep out of the rut every time. And if we're the sheep in the rut, that makes us really excited, probably. But what about when we're the sheep that's been doing what we're told and staying where we're supposed to stay, and the shepherd keeps leaving us anyway to go after the idiot that won't follow simple instructions? So we're going to take a few moments to talk about this. So let me remind you of how the story goes, and then we're going to turn to people, our neighbors. A couple of you might have to move a little bit to find a neighbor. We're going to talk a little bit. So suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country? So not in the flock, not in the safe paddock. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." So if you could put the slide up on, and people at home, you can talk if you've got someone in the room with you, or you can journal this or think about it. We're going to talk about it from two perspectives. First, if you're the lost sheep, how does it feel to know that your shepherd's coming for you? But the second one is, imagine you're one of the 99. How does it feel to be out in the open country, left behind by your protector? So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to talk about each of those, and I will tell you when that halfway point comes so you can switch. So turn to somebody near you and have a little bit of a chat about these two questions, and then we'll come back. I'm going to invite you to switch over to question number two. If someone hasn't had a chance to talk, I'll invite them to maybe share first in the second question. All right, my friends, I hope you've had a good conversation. I'm going to invite you to come back, bring your attention back up to the front, which I know is hard because no matter how long I give you, you will still have something else to say. And that is good. It is good. So, what does it mean to have a God of hope? If the one isn't, and then we kind of got to this in our group, if the one isn't worth chasing, how secure are we really as the other 99? Because at any point, any of us could get lost, right? And if we don't know that we have a protector who's willing to come out and get us, then at any moment, we know we could be next. And that is not a life of security, that's not a life of hope, that's a life of fear. And I think the Pharisees, that was kind of where their minds were. You had to follow the rules or you were in big trouble. And so there was always this fear that maybe they would mess up and that would be the end of it. But Jesus taught something different. The good shepherd always goes after the sheep, not reluctantly, not with a scolding, not with a "you better get better," but coming home carrying us and rejoicing that the lost have been found. So our other story was about a woman with 10 coins. And just like that woman, I have 10 coins. Hold on a minute. They're not there. you know what? I think I gave out my 10 coins. And I'm wondering if there might be some people who can help me collect them. Would anyone like to collect some coins for me? What do you think? Cohen, Caden, you want to help me collect some coins? Maybe Rosie? Rosie's always happy to collect coins. I don't know if Grace is around, but she would be welcome to collect some coins too. If I gave you a coin before the service started, raise your hand, please. Can you guys go get coins? Anyone with a hand up, go get the coin. Look for people with hands up and go get their coins. Do you see anyone with their hand up, Grace? Look back here. Go up the stairs. Come up the stairs. Yep. Go look back there. See if you can see anyone with their hand up. See hands up? Come on. Come on, I'll come with you. Come on. There we go. You coming too, Ambrose? There we go. And over there. All right. I wonder. All right, come on down here. We're going to see how many coins we got. Okay. We're going to count our coins. Everybody's hands are back down now. All right, what do we got? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How many coins did I say I had? 10 coins? Who had their hand up that didn't give anybody a coin? Uh-oh, Madeline, I gave a coin, but I think she's hidden it. Do you think you guys can find it? I think Madeline might be able to help by giving us warm and cold clues. So from here, are we warm or cold or icy cold, Madeline? Freezing cold. So we need to go somewhere else to see if we can find one more coin. Hey, buddy, you want to go look? Are we getting warmer, Madeline? We're getting warmer. Oh, through the door, are we warmer? Oh, we're warm out there. I wonder if we can find a coin back there. Let's see. Look, oh, I see. Did you find it, Rosie? No? Are we closer on Rosie's side or the other side? The other side. All right. From here, people on camera can't see, but I just see shadows going across the glass, running back and forth, looking. How are we doing? We found it! Yay! All right. And did you see what happened when you found it? Everyone got so excited. We found it! Yay! And so we come home, we rejoice. Just like the lady did when she found her coin. She invited all her friends over to throw a party, which is pretty cool. So my celebration is you guys, because I don't know if you know this, but these aren't just any coins. They're chocolate coins. So to celebrate, you guys can take chocolate coins with you. All right. There you go. Do you want to take one home for Carter? And do we want one for Ambrose? Can I give it to you to give to Ambrose? Wonderful. This is the cool thing about this story. Any possibility of this story being about us goes away. Because we're not dealing with living things. We're dealing with coins. And I don't know about you, but there's not very often when I've been like, I feel like a coin today. This story is only and fully about God. God is the woman in this story who has lost a coin. And just like the woman, God searches high and low. God doesn't just sit back and say, well, I'll find it eventually. God goes out and looks. And when God finds us, God doesn't just say, whew, all right, on about my day. God invites all of the angels in heaven to rejoice. This, when we say we worship a God of hope, this rejoicing in finding the lost is part of what we mean. God gives us hope by letting us know we're secure. Like a baby who has all of the food and support and comfort that they need. The God of hope rejoices when the lost are found. And we are invited to be more like Jesus, which means when the lost are found, we too should rejoice. We should get excited. We should say, isn't it amazing? And if our temptation is to say, why is God paying attention to that guy? Then maybe we're a little more lost than we thought. But there is hope, because we too will be found by our Savior, and there will be rejoicing in heaven. Let us pray. God, you are so good. You love us. You run after us. You look high and low under every carpet till you find every one of your precious lost ones. Thank you, God, that we are invited in. Help us to see who else you are seeking and to celebrate when they too come to know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.